Hi, my name is Joe English, and you're listening to The Sock Show.
Sponsored by VivaGreen-GreenSacks.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM, Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Welcome. This is The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Good afternoon. Coming up on today's programme, an interview with Joe English, a young floristry student at Waterford IT. He's not a student of floristry, but it's a new word that I've learned today, so I'm going to use it a lot. But he's a student of horticulture, and we'll have a word with him, or Peter Donegan will, in a couple of moments' time. First, thanks to our sponsors, GreenSacks, compostable bags for home and garden, and not just the compostable green bags but also the brown bags too. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop them into your trolley. Check them out on the internet at viva-greensacks.com. Before we head to today's interview, if you are a garden club, a horticultural society, or if you've got any news or information in the world of gardens and growing and horticulture, do get in touch with The Sod Show. At Sod Show on Twitter is where to get us on a Friday afternoon. info@sodshow.com throughout the week, and check out the website for more contact details. That's at sodshow.com. The show's produced by Peter Donegan, and Katrina Redmond is on the blogs and podcast, always available from around tea time on Friday. So if you miss the show on air, you can always listen in throughout the week to an on-demand version of the show. Or you can stream it. You don't even have to download it because we're on Audio Boom. Okay, on with today's interview. And as I said, Peter Donegan is speaking with, as you heard at the very top of the show, Joe English.
If you're wondering why there is a gaggle of students, those rebellious rapscallions, on the show, I guess in the back of my head, which is a very funny place, not a place you really want to get too far into, it was to kind of get that bit of a journey. It was to take the people who weren't in the industry already, so to speak. So we've had the Andrew Wilsons of this world on. How many shiny things has he got after his name? Too many. We've had the James Wongs, we've had the Katrina Redmonds of this world, accomplished book authors, Fionnuala Fallons, the Jane Powers. And we kind of thought it was right and fair to change a little bit approach to an extent, and bring on the younger voice, not so much the younger voice, but maybe the newer voice. And that is why we are talking to Joe. Joe, you've got do you mind me saying this, a boy bandy kind of looking haircut, a little bit fresher than my own, if that's all right to say. You strike me as a young enough fellow. You've got a hoodie on. I might be afraid of you in a supermarket. I'm joking, but you're a young enough chappy. Do you mind me asking what age you are?
21.
How did you end up in horticulture?
Well, really, I've been into horticulture since I was a child. Our first memory of it was going into the neighbour's front garden and nicking their nasturtium seeds. So it was. But from then, I just got into the horticulture from the local the horticultural initiative, and then did my level 5 from there. Took a year off, did a little bit of voluntary there. And from there, started my horticultural degree in WIT.
The horticultural initiative that you spoke of, do you want to tell me a little bit about that? I've never heard of it before.
It was a community development project in Ballybeg, and they did they were offering level 4, 5, and actually no, it was just level 4 and 5. And I didn't get a chance to finish my leaving cert due to medical reasons, and from there, just did the level 5 and absolutely loved the horticulture and wanted to further it.
I'm gathering, and I know in my own life and in my own journey through horticulture and gardening and landscaping and making gardens and essentially, as I call it, making people smile with something that grows. That's the easiest way to describe what I do for a living. And if you're wondering, no, the Sod Show does not pay. It doesn't, just for the record, it doesn't pay myself and Brian anything. It never has. But my real job, that of making gardens and or making people smile with growing things, in all of it, I identify it with two things, and one is music or songs that were playing around that time, or I was listening to on the radio when I had my first dance with my first beau, with my first love when I was in college, or whoever the case may be. And there's also the people who were good gardeners at the time, because nobody went to study horticulture really back then when I was kind of growing up, and I never have forgotten them. Did you have people in that 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 bit that have kind of been the inspiration, the Beyonce, if you don't mind me using that one, for the Beyonce to the younger girls, or, but in horticultural terms, are there people along that journey that you've met?
To be honest, not really. I think it was just, it's just been an interest since I was a kid. I'd be there watching, well, Dermot Gavin and Alan Tishmarsh. I found those be the two people that I'd look up to when it comes to actually gardening. And from there, just my love of actual flowers and colour and things. That's why I would actually like to go into either the nursery part of it or the floristry.
If I was to give you a magic crystal ball, if I was to put you into that Tom Hanks film, the big one, and allow you to make that wish, where would you be if you could be anything that is photosynthetic? Where would Joe be in 10 years time?
Well, hopefully Joe would be self-employed in his own kind of floristry business, and either that or be in a nursery. Basically, the dream would actually be able to have my own floristry business, as well as being able to grow the flowers that I'd produce in a floristry.
Do you think there's a lot of what's coming through the media is a bit pants? Do you think a lot of it's not the real deal? I know when it's snowing, when it's raining, when it's hailstoning, I'm outside, and then I see one of those car insurance adverts, and they're growing pina coladas and tomatoes on their windowsill, and it's December. Is there an element of head scratching where how would you say it? The picture is one thing, the reality is another. So whilst you say florist shop, I know that is almost an up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning thing to get into the market to pick out those freshest, best flowers, grade one, if it's the growing your own flowers that is out the back of the florist shop. That's the picture I have in my head. It's equally up at 5 o'clock in the morning to tend to them, because you must run the shop during the daytime to finish at six to go back outside to do more of that. Is that has the whole picture been taught out, or is it a case of, well, yeah, Peter, it has, but I also love dearly what it is that I want to do in the future?
Well, you could say that in one sense, but as you know, I'm only a first year. I'm slowly getting the picture together. So with a bit of guidance from my year head, Cara, and a little bit of guidance from the second, third years, anyone that's in Kildalton or WIT, just to try and clarify that picture of what I can and can't do. Am I taking on too much, or should I go for it? Should I be self-employed, or kind of go into a partnership where it's the workloads easily is split, and I have more time to myself, as well as different kind of areas that I can go into, be the floristry and the nursery side of it. So I'm kind of torn between two loves of the actual horticulture.
Do you drive by florists now that you've done the 1 year, the years in college? Do you drive past them and go, oh my God, I can't believe you have those chrysanthemums? Really? Are you joking me? God, I feel like, I jest in saying this, but I feel like breaking into your shop at night time and replacing those chrysanthemums with amaryllis or something a little bit different. Do you have that in you? I do it all the time, as a by the way.
Absolutely. I was just there the other day in Tesco's looking at the flowers they have and just in absolute horror at the flowers that they have in it. And a mate of mine doing her art degree is doing something with flowers, hanging them upside down and something of that. She's looking for a certain one. Went into a local floristry and just looking at the kind of floral arrangements and just thinking to myself, you could put a little bit of this in here, a little bit of cornus alba would be different. And kind of looking at the woman who was advising my friend to have these flowers and such with absolute disgust.
Is that because maybe the flowers that were in season, maybe there's a reason for that, or is it just because you possibly see things just a little bit different as a young blood coming into the industry?
Yeah, I do try to keep a broad spectrum when it comes to flowers. Some people may love camellias, some people may hate camellias. When it comes to being a florist, I would think that you do have to keep a broad spectrum, and even if you hate it, you probably still will have to stock.
Is there an element in all of this where it's just horses for courses, and then on the other side of it, you've got like the young, very young Joe Massey, who's won medals across the board in Chelsea. He's also a former guest of the Sod Show. He's employed by Kildare Village to come in and put in a two-week-long installation. And people come from all across the globe, literally, to come and admire something that he's made. But it's not the bouquet of flowers from the local petrol station, inverted commas, and it's also not the floral arrangement that maybe my grandmother would have loved. Are you just like the next generation of new blood, the next Joe Massey coming onto the scene? And is that's not a bad thing, is it, by the way?
Well, I'd like to think that I'd be the new blood of Joe Massey, and I'd love to actually just see the art that is in floristry. There is people that just go for your run-of-the-mill kind of florists, and just when it comes to Valentine's Day, they're after forgetting the misses or anything, just run to the petrol station, get a bouquet of things to just stop an argument, hopefully. But then there's other people that really are particular when it comes to flowers. I would hope to actually become one of those kind of people that would cater to that particularity of flowers.
It's one of the things I love about this about doing this show, that again, it's not for the money, and you meet a young gentleman who's having a double underlined gentleman having a conversation with you about the future. This is the unforeseen bit. We're at the DeLorean stage where we're October 25th, 1985, if you're an Anthony McGuinness Back to the Future fan, and you're saying where you would like to be, and being that you take it that you're 17 years of age and you say, I would like to go to college and study horticulture, and you do that for 4 years, then I did it. I did the 4-year plan. I did the 5-year plan. I've always done a 3-, 4-, 5-year plan, and then broken it down into months of how to get there. I've always done it. It's going to be gas, and I hope, God bless, touch wood, the Sod Show is still around. We get to come back and talk to this young rapscallion and see just what how good he has become. Brian, it is back to you in the studio for part 2.
Thanks, Peter. Song of the week time. Let's go to something good, but a little bit older than what we usually play on the Sod Show. Although we have played some old tunes recently, this is Hooverphonic from Belgium and a song called Sometimes. You're with 103.2 Dublin City FM. Good afternoon.
Don't you ever get the point? You're much too slow for me. Why don't we ever flip by coin? Reliability, some like a lot. Just give a little to me. That's why I sing the song. They call us crazy early birds.
The Sideshow at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and Sideshow.com for all of the show notes on today's show. Joe, you're doing the college thing. You're up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 in the morning indeed. You're a young pup of a chap. You do the whole college day. You come out of it that night. You go home. You've got assignments. It's not all of the pub culture that maybe we might hear about on the news. How difficult is it for you to get to enjoy what you might call your hobby should you not be studying horticulture, which is the floristry that we seem to have almost become a little bit fixated on, but not in a bad way? How difficult is it to get time to floral arrange?
Well, I don't really get much time to actually do the floral arrangements. There's lecturers coming in with assignments left, right, and centre, and by the time from 6 o'clock to nearly 7 o'clock in the afternoon, then you're doing your assignments. You're coming up to nearly about 11 o'clock in the night time, and you're only getting nearly 7-8 hours sleep on a good day. So it doesn't leave much time to do any hobbies. If any hobbies come around, it's during the weekends.
So if I was to give a calendar of your availability, it would be the upcoming summer, apart from maybe one or two weeks come, let's say, Easter. Well, during the Easter period, I know from the college scene, you would have stuff to do in the middle of that as well. You know, I would have worked as well, but it would have been literally work, study, work, study, work, study, work, study, not any of the fun that is horticulture. So you're kind of literally hitting the summertime. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the summertime. I would be looking for work experience in the next second year and trying to find a florist that actually has a massive appreciation of floristry and the art of putting different kind of colours and different textures of flowers together, and not just looking for flowers but actual, let's say, your cornice alba that has the red stems, just kind of a different kind of take on floristry, not just using flowers.
You mean it almost, again, we refer to them, but you mean almost like the Joe Massey becomes an art installation, so to, in a certain sense of the word?
Big time, actually. I'd want to have a different aspect of the flowers, and just, I love anything unusual about flowers. I wouldn't be looking for your run-the-mill flowers that you can just mass-produce, put them into a thing, sell them off to Tesco's, but something that's unusual.
Okay, so here's the deal we'll make before Joe goes on. I know he's got an assignment literally to finish before 5 o'clock. He's to get it in actually before 5 o'clock, and the show finishes at 3:30, so that gives him an hour and a half to run 20 laps around the college. But if there are any good young, I don't mean young, it's nothing to do with the Isle of Ulay adverts, it's to do it in your heart, it's to do it in your head. If you are out there and you are a little bit Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, you like to not listen to, no offence, I don't know, some kind of classical music on the radio show instead of us, that is. And you fancy giving Joe a punt. It might be a day, might be a week, might be 2 weeks. Get in touch at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow. And we'll pass it on. And if you do that, just for the crack, I'll make sure that the Sideshow comes down and does one show especially for you, and we will also come down and do one show with you and with Joe. How's about that for a deal? Brian, it is back to you in the studio. In the meantime, Joe, thank you so much for your time. Been wonderful.
Thanks, Joe, and thanks, Peter. It is Dublin City FM, the Sideshow on 103.2. Good afternoon. I don't think I've ever done this before. But what we're going to do is just give you a bit of a preview of something that's coming up next week on The Sideshow. This is John Cribben of Summerhill Lawns, and Peter going for the world record longest question ever on The Sideshow.
How long does it take? And just for those who have, I don't know, I mean, there are people, I've got sisters who are living in apartments, they will never possibly own a lawnmower in their life. It's not like it was in 1980s Ireland when I was putting bags of compost across the front handlebars of my grifter, folks. I said a grifter. It was the step up from the chopper, the rally chopper. You BMX, flash boy. But for those who haven't had to do the lawnmower thing, haven't had to get it serviced once a year, you go out your very large back garden, which is basically like Crow Park. No, let me take Slane Castle. No, Electric Picnic. The size of Electric Picnic. And you scatter down some grass seed. We'll make this really simple. I know there's a little bit more to it than that. How long does it take before you can actually sell me one roll of lawn?
Okay, ideally from time of sowing to time of harvest, ideally we need 14 months. If it's younger than that, just the sods sometimes get a little bit brittle or that. If it gets too old, say if it gets 2 years or more, it gets a little bit too tatchy, and then it's not offered for sale as a premium product. So in around 14, 18 months is ideal time for harvesting turf.
That's a long time in comparison to somebody who grows maybe a head of lettuce. It's a long time to have a finished saleable product.
Yeah, well, I suppose what you're trying to do when we're producing turf is you're trying to create a mass of roots underneath so that when you do harvest it, it's all going to hold together. So it just needs that time frame. And during that time frame, of course, we're feeding the grass every 8 weeks and we're scarifying and treating for weeds. And so it is an ongoing maintenance program that unfortunately requires a lot of time and work on our behalf. But yeah, 14 months is ideal.
This is a question I have always wanted to ask, and ideally I do know the answer. At the same token, no better man to ask. I can buy a bag of grass seed as cheap as I can buy a bag of barley for my hens, or thereabouts. Your product this is the rollout turf, is better than seed because. This is like a caption competition winning answer.
Okay, well, look, grass seed will still have its place in gardens, but if you're after going to your garden centre and buying your plants and doing up your garden, and then you finish off by doing your lawn with a bag of grass seed or that, you don't get the same effect look-wise from your lawn, because if you roll out a lawn, you're rolling out a mature lawn that's there, and it rewards the rest of your work because you have a mature look. But the thing about it is that when you grow grass seed as a DIY person or that, you have to fight the challenges of weeds and seeds not coming up in places and that type of thing, whereas with a rollout lawn, we take all that confusion out. You're just rolling out a mature lawn ready to use.
John Cribben of Summerhill Lawns, that's coming up next week on The Sod Show. Something for your diary, a date for your diary. June 11th, 2015, KBC Great Music at the National Botanic Gardens. The annual KBC Great Music in the Irish Houses programme takes place on June 9th to 14th. This year, it'll mark the 150th anniversary of the birth of W.B. Yeats. The National Botanic Gardens will play host to a concert by the American Escher Quartet on Thursday, the 11th of June at 8 p.m. The gardens will also play host to a residency programme sponsored by KBC, which will help young Irish ensemble players to hone their skills as chamber musicians under the tutelage of leading musicians. You can book your tickets online at botanicgardens.ie that date, June 11th. And there ends the fastest half hour of the week. The Sod Show will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. If you want to get in touch, at Sod Show on Twitter. You can get in touch on Facebook, facebook.com/The Sod Show. info@sodshow.com is the email address, and the podcast is available from Tea Time Friday, and you can get that at sodshow.com, available in iTunes and all good podcast catchers. Until next Friday at 3, from myself, Brian Green, celebrating 30 years on the radio next Monday. Do take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.